Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Jay Levin. You can find us everywhere you get your podcasts. Hopefully, you're listening to us on your mobile device, your tablet, perhaps your computer, but no matter how you're tuning in, we appreciate you being here. And, Jay, we got a little bit more information from the NHL. They put out the roadmap now, which is a little more defined as to how they're going to get back to play. We already knew over the weekend phase two, the return to playing with, or not the return to playing, but the return to practicing with six or less in a group, the return to working out, that sort of thing, very limited staff. But now we know a couple more things. Number one, the NHL wants to try to get training camps going no later than the middle of July. They would like to finish the season. Next year, they want to be a full season. So that, to me, says time is a factor for them if they're going to pull this off. There's some other stuff I want to get into as well as far as everything that came out today. There was a lot to digest, quite frankly, and we'll talk about things like matchups and that in other podcasts. But I wanted to ask you, what stood out to you the most, or maybe you've got two or three things that just really hit you off the top?
Well, I think some of the things that hit me most is kind of confirming a lot of the rumors that were out there. I mean, so that there had been reports that the league was looking at potentially this type of setup, that type of setup. Now we finally heard from the league directly. It's going to be 24 teams in the playoffs, 12 teams in each conference. So we know that for a fact. We now know the first round matchups for both conferences. We've heard different ideas thrown out about hub cities, number of teams in each hub. We now know that the league is down to a plan where it's looking for two hub cities, you know, one to host Eastern Conference, one to host Western Conference. So I think, you know, that provides a lot of structure. You put that in with the memo that went out to the teams this weekend. You put that in with the NHLPA vote last week. You're seeing slowly a building of, you know, one piece on top of the other. As we talked about, the news that came out this weekend pointing towards the league really wanting to move forward, I don't think the league would have made this type of a press conference, this type of an announcement today, unless they were above 99% sure that they're going to wind up getting back to play. I don't think as a league you put yourself out there to this extent unless you are, you know, all but 100% sure that you're getting back onto to the ice and getting back to action at some point.
Jay, one of the interesting things to me was the format. They said, okay, we're going to do round robin with the top four in each conference for seeding, determine the other four teams through what are best of five series. So essentially those two, and by the way, I want to make the point, the regular season is now over. So everything was where it is. The awards that will be handed out and some that we've already figured out, like Draisaitl winning the Art Ross, Boston wins the Jennings Trophy, and then you have a tie for the Roger Richard with Pasternak and Ovechkin. Okay, great. So the regular season's done. Now, best of fives for those bottom four in each conference to figure out who's going to make the actual 16-team playoffs. There's no decision yet on whether they're going to bracket it or if they're going to reseed. And there's no decision yet on anything except the conference final and Stanley Cup final will be best of seven. But at this point, the league isn't even quite committing, and kind of going back to my point about time being a factor, to anything else being a best of seven. We may see the first two rounds of the playoffs actually be best of fives.
I think a lot of it is likely, as you point out, to be determined based on time and based on kind of how quickly the country heals, how quickly the U.S. and Canadian border reopens. So I think the league left itself a lot of wiggle room to go in some different directions, but it provided a lot more structure towards getting back onto ice. I think based on the timeline that we've seen, a date that I would kind of circle is July 6th. You know, the league kind of brought up, you know, trying to start in early July. I kind of circle that coming out of the Independence Day holiday here in the U.S. you know, I can see that weekend being a return to an official training camp type of setup. The league has talked about close to 3 weeks of training camp. I can see at that point, if teams have been skating in small groups for a couple weeks heading into that, then maybe looking closer to 2 week, 17-day kind of period. And now you're getting into that first round and into the round robin before the end of July. You then perhaps start your 16-team, quote-unquote, normal Stanley Cup playoff in early August. I'm with you based on stuff that's been said. It would not surprise me if the first round of the playoffs winds up being best of five, and I can kind of see the league then trying, hoping that it can go best of seven for round two, then obviously the conference final, cup final being best of seven.
Also, interesting to point out, too, that I don't know that the NHL was beholden to an Eastern Conference city having to host Eastern Conference teams. But, Jay, when they put out the cities in the list of cities, number one, Nashville, that we talked about, was not on it. Dallas reemerged. But they also mentioned some big centers like Los Angeles. They mentioned Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, and Canada. I just don't think it's going to end up in a Canadian city. Of course, Vegas, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I feel like at this point, though, Columbus is probably the front runner, even though they said Pittsburgh is in it in the East as well. Those are really the only two Eastern cities, I think. Raleigh has disappeared. And in the West, we talked about it on a previous podcast, Vegas and Minneapolis, St. Paul seem to make the most sense as far as host cities go. But, I mean, is Columbus a shoe-in now?
Well, one of the things that kind of stands out to me as you listened to some of the information that came out today, I'm kind of getting the impression that the league is looking to use two facilities for games in the host city. That obviously would then knock out Nashville, you know, because you've got Bridgestone Arena. You don't necessarily have another pro-style arena here in the Nashville metro area. But you look Chicago, you have two major arenas there with the Chicago Wolves in town. Columbus, you've got the Schottenstein Center where Ohio State plays, which is a pro-style arena. You look Dallas, they'd maybe have to get a little bit creative, but, you know, I could see Jerry World all of a sudden opening up. That seems very much like something that Jerry Jones would get into. Close the roof of Jerry World, make that into another pro-style ice rink, pro-style facility. You look Los Angeles, you've got both LA and you've got Anaheim fairly close. They can station out of the same hotel, kind of drive there. Minneapolis, St. Paul, we've talked about. Toronto, you've got multiple within the city. Vancouver, again, you've got so many rinks, you know, and so many options there in the Vancouver metro area. Pittsburgh, and, you know, Pittsburgh gets a little bit tough there. Vegas, again, you've got where the Knights play. You can potentially contact UNLV, look at the Thomas and Mack Center. That's a 17,000-seat facility for basketball. That's a very pro-style. Or
you've got the Las Vegas Wranglers' old home rink, Jay, in the Orleans Arena. You can always go back to the Orleans.
You could, right. You know, so I think when I look at the list, like you see cities that fairly easily, with the exception of Pittsburgh, you see cities that fairly easily fit a two-facility kind of model. That, again, potentially could be where Raleigh got crossed off. That could potentially be where Nashville got crossed off the list. Based on how things are going, I'm a little surprised to see a California team because just of some of the politics that are involved there and some of the ways that California has been very slow to open. And, so some of the different issues there, I'm a little surprised to see Chicago because the city of Chicago has been hit hard by the coronavirus and is still very much towards the peak point of it. But some of this, again, is why the league has given itself some time and some wiggle room to sort of see where things are as you get into mid late June to perhaps nail down the exact host city.
So the NHL did say it's going to be two, not three or four. It'll be two. We know that much. The draft is something I want to get into in a later podcast because there's a lot of possibilities and explanation. I did try to explain it in a blog on talkingpuck.com earlier. So if anybody, if you're still looking for a simplified explanation, I have it on there in a bullet point for you. But so we know there'll be a draft event in June. And at this point, Jay, it looks like the league, man, they want that 82-game season next year for obvious reasons, but they really are gung-ho to get things in this year. Is there anything else that comes to mind here that you'd want to talk about? I know we have so much to wrap our arms around. We'll do the matchups in a separate one, and the format and everything. Is there anything that really just is kind of hanging out there that's major news for you today?
Obviously a lot of news and a lot to unpack. I think there are some things that, well, let's wait and see what the next news cycles are like. I kind of expect that we'll hear something more from the league before the end of this week. Again, we kind of looked at it last week with, as we did some hypotheticals on teams that may or may not turn out well. I think the way this turned out, the Montreal Canadiens, like, that's a gold star that I'm looking at. That I think that they benefited from the way things broke more than any team in the league. They were all but eliminated from the playoffs before. Now, all of a sudden, they're in. Not only are they in, they've got a short series against a team that, let's face it, every team's going to be rusty. So, a team that, in a perfect condition, should beat them fairly regularly in a best of seven type of series. Now all of a sudden a best of five coming off of long layoff, that becomes much more of a crapshoot in my opinion. So I think Montreal, in terms of all the teams around the league, came out as the biggest winner from some of the.
Well, there certainly are going to be some bigger winners and losers that do come out of this. And look, not everybody's going to make it. We know 24 teams will return to play. That's about the best compromise that we could possibly have here as far as how you can justify who's in, who's out. The seven teams, I'm calling them the outside seven. They're done. They're not going to play at all this year. That's it. Their season is over. So that's just kind of the way things shook out. I will say this. I like the 24-team format. I think it is the best possible compromise that they could have come up with. It makes the most people happy. Not everyone, but the most people. And I support it. And I can't wait to actually see if it's going to come to fruition. On top of everything, Jay, it does need to be noted as we kind of put a bow on things here for this very first of what I'm sure will be a series of breaking down the announcement this week and whatever news continues to come forth, is that there's a big if they're able to return to play. It's nice to have the guide work in place. It's nice to have your roadmap. But you know as well as I do, if cases surge, if things happen, if, player safety becomes a big issue, that maybe this doesn't happen. So just keep in mind that because of that, and I tell you that to tell you this, because of that, things can still change. They can still, as they move forward into phases, turn left here, turn right there, and kind of change things up. And so far, I will say this, I think the NHL's done as good a job as possible of pivoting here. And I mean, there's not much else you can do. You can lay this framework out and hope things go according to plan.
Yeah, I think the league has given itself a decent amount of flexibility while providing a fairly rigid set of guidelines to move the process forward. Something else that's kind of interesting, if you list out the big four, the big five professional sports leagues in North America, the NHL in terms of impact on the sports landscape tends to be towards the bottom of that list, right? NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL clearly number one, Major League Baseball and NBA maybe flipping between 2 and 3 depending on the year. NHL probably more years than not slots in 4 among, you know, the general fan. MLS probably below that. But on this issue, the NHL seems to be the leader among the conferences, right? Among the different leagues. You look, Major League Baseball seems to be scuffling to get some sort of arrangement between the owners and the players. The NBA has been fairly quiet in terms of some of its plans. The NHL has, you know, within the last 10 days has really stepped out and been a leader in terms of setting information, stating what its intended goals are, and coming out in front of a lot of the news cycles. So that, you know, that's interesting, in my opinion, to kind of look at how the different leagues are handling and the way that the NHL has stepped up.
And so that'll close it up for this podcast, and there will be several more coming your way. As I told you, the Talking Puck podcast, that's Jay Levin. He's at Bowtie Sports on Twitter. I'm Tom Callahan, at Callahan on Air. Please follow us here, like and subscribe to the podcast, and you can find us on iTunes, iHeart, Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts, CastBox, any place you get your podcasts. We appreciate you being a part of things here. So thank you very much, and as always, stay tuned Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, or 6 p.m. And as always, check us out on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time for Talking Puck. Mike Haynes joining us for that as well, former Colorado Avalanche voice. All right, everybody, we'll talk to you next time on the Talking Puck podcast.